You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
I spoke to ACT's Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden as part of our weekly catch-up. We talked about Labor's review of Pharmac and why ACT believes it is so important to do it properly. But first, we spoke about the End of Life Choice Act, which is a hot topic in Parliament at the moment.
Let's briefly talk about the questions that you had for Andrew Little regarding the End of Life Choice Act. What are some of the concerns you had regarding the government's ability to meet these obligations?
Yeah, so for us in ACT, we're looking at this from a very long perspective. You know, we went all the way through a 16-month select committee, the longest select committee in history. It took about 2 years in total, I think, to pass the legislation through Parliament. And then since then, we've done a referendum just to make sure that this is what the public actually wanted. But of course, the referendum doesn't mean that the process for end-of-life choices ended and it's now a fully functioning law. There's still a clause in it that says it takes 12 months for the law to actually come into effect. So we're just trying to keep the pressure on the government to make sure this is at the top of their agenda, that in fact New Zealanders overwhelmingly voted for end-of-life choice. Let's make sure that there's a good process in place to establish all of that stuff behind the scenes that needs to go on before it can actually come into place.
What is the timetable looking like for the implementation of this? You know, is it going to be fully implemented by the 12-month deadline?
Yeah, well, by law, it has to be implemented by the 7th of November 2021, because that's when the law will become operational. For us, it was really promising that Andrew Little actually stood up in the House and publicly said that he's willing to publish a timetable on when he expects the various bodies and entities that need to be set up by the Ministry of Health to actually become operational. So I thought that was a really positive step by the Minister, and shows that, you know, this is an issue that ACT and Labor are willing to work together on.
Do you know what this timetable entails, or is it yet to be published still?
Yeah, it's yet to be published at the moment, because things move slowly in government, unfortunately, on all aspects. But what I'll be doing is I'll be writing to the Minister as well, just outlining what my expectations are as a follow-up, and hoping to get a deadline on when that will actually be published.
Last week, you also mentioned the importance of establishing a support and consultation group for end of life. What would that group entail, and why is it so important?
Yeah, this is one of the really important parts of the legislation. So part of this whole issue, is we've said, revolves around choice, and that involves the choice of the doctors, the nurses, all of the pharmacists and psychologists who are also involved in end-of-life choice, and giving them an option to opt out and say, you know, I have a conscience that doesn't allow me to do end-of-life choice. I might have a religious background. They can opt out of a patient coming to them and wanting to access end-of-life choice. So this group, it's called SKINS for short, for support and consultation, is actually set up within the Ministry of Health. And it's a list of all of the doctors, nurse practitioners, pharmacists and psychiatrists who've said that they would be actively willing to participate in end-of-life choice. This doesn't mean that they'd be willing to sign off on whether someone's eligible. They're just willing to help in the process. So that's a really core aspect of the bill, to make sure that it can be up and running. So in practice, that means, you know, you might go to your first doctor and say that you'd like assisted dying. By law, there has to be a second doctor that goes through that whole process that was independent from the first doctor. And that doctor is picked by the Ministry of Health through the SKINS group. So it's really important for the functioning of this Act that that group is up and running.
So in what ways would you like to see ACT be involved in this process and the rollout of end-of-life choice?
I think for me and for David as well, we've been very involved in this process right from the beginning. So just trying to make sure that we've got an overview of what the Minister is actually intending to do over this next year, just to keep an eye on all of those really minute details to make sure that there hasn't been anything missed. And I think that's the role not only of opposition, but of being a constructive player in Parliament. You're looking at a law that you've helped create and ask, what possibly could they be doing wrong? And how can we make sure that the law is going to work as it was intended to?
Yeah, I guess that brings me to my next question, which is what sort of commitments is the ACT Party making to ensure that this Act is functional and that the government does meet the obligations that they have said that they will meet?
Well, the government themselves will have to, by law, have this set up. We're just making sure that it's of the highest possible quality by next year. So my commitment is that I will be continually working with and questioning the Minister of Health on the process to set up all of these bodies, and I'm sure I'll be doing that publicly and privately as well.
So now let's talk a little bit about PharmAC. You're going to have to explain this to me because I'm not especially knowledgeable about this, but what is PharmAC and why does ACT believe that it's flawed?
Well, PharmAC is what we call an institution. So PharmAC is essentially every time you go to your doctor and you ask for a prescription, that prescription is funded by PharmAC. So it's the one central medicines body in New Zealand that buys in bulk all the medicines needed for New Zealanders and distributed to all of the people in New Zealand. So, you know, people don't go off and buy, for example, pain medication for themselves. They can actually go to their doctor, and that is funded by PharmAC through our taxes.
You've mentioned that the government is going to be doing a review. You've mentioned some concern that the government won't be thorough enough in that review. Could you elaborate on that a bit?
So during the campaign, the ACT Party had a policy that we wanted PharmAC to do a review, and we wanted to make sure that the model that is behind PharmAC, that helps create the decision for what drugs and medicines should be funded in New Zealand, actually gets a look at and gets potentially changed because it could be out of date. The problem with PharmAC at the moment is just no one has looked at it for around 30 years. So potentially it does need to be changed. And Labor and National during the campaign agreed with us and said that was something that they were going to take on board. And so for us, we went to the Prime Minister and asked, are you actually going to go ahead with this review? And it looks like last week they've started a process for a review, which is really good to hear. But we're just wanting to make sure that the review is actually independent of PharmAC. And it's not, I guess, another government review that is not actually implemented. You know, there are all sorts of reviews that come out. But it's up to politicians of the day, of course, whether they adopt those recommendations or not. So for us, and me in particular, I was really moved by hearing stories like this woman I met a few weeks ago called Jess, and she's got what's called Crohn's disease. And there's not that many people who know about Crohn's disease, but there's around 30,000 New Zealanders with this condition. And PharmAC doesn't actually fund their medication. And this has meant that over the last few years, she's had up to 30 surgeries because of her Crohn's condition. And she's gone, this is crazy. You know, I've probably spent more money for the taxpayer having surgeries because this medication isn't funded. And that's part of what we're wanting to review. So PharmAC has this model that it uses, an economic model, to determine how they should buy in all of the drugs that are needed for the best cost possible to New Zealanders. But they haven't taken into account the people that they don't fund and whether they have extra costs to the healthcare system, like surgeries and ongoing caregivers and stuff like that, that could in fact be cheaper if PharmAC actually funded their medication.
I'm actually very surprised to hear that Crohn's isn't covered by PharmAC. That's quite shocking, actually.
Yeah. Just I'll clarify one thing there. There is one drug that is funded for Crohn's, but not another one that is funded in about 34 other countries. So they do have a little bit of funding, but the Crohn's community themselves are saying that it's not the drug that's actually used worldwide, that they should be having an updated drug. So there's a little bit of contention there. But there are a whole bunch of these groups. You know, you've got rare disorders communities, all kinds of communities. But the real issue I find here is that we're not taking into account all of those other added costs that are potentially being put onto other taxpayers, but also onto the people themselves who aren't getting their drugs funded. You know, there are people who want to work, but they can't because they have to go in and out of hospital for surgeries for conditions that are not funded in New Zealand. And that is not really taking into account the value of life and the value that people have being able to contribute to society.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.